Hello, I'm Professor Bob Hewish from the Department of International Development Studies at Dalhousie University. You're listening to GDP, the Global Development Primer, the podcast dedicated to all issues in international development studies. Follow me on Twitter at Professor Hewish. Welcome to another episode of the Global Development Primer Podcast. I'm your host, Professor Bob Hewish, coming to you live from the Clinton Global Initiative 2022 in New York City. And I'm joined here today with three gentlemen from Keystone Human Services. And first, we have Charlie Hooker.
Thank you, Bob. I'm Charlie Hooker. I'm President and CEO of Keystone Human Services.
Thank you, Charlie. And we're also joined by Charles Sweeter.
Yes, I'm Charles Sweeter. I'm the president-elect at Keystone Human Services. I will be taking over in January 2023.
And finally, we have Nikolai Chelkin, who's joining us as well.
Hello, I'm Nikolai Chelkin, Director of Administration of Keystone Moldova.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. And we're really excited to talk about your commitment with the Clinton Global Initiative. But first, could you give our listeners a sense of what Keystone Human Services is all about?
Yeah, thank you, Bob. The Keystone Human Services was founded in 1972. It was founded by a group of what we kind of consider radicals at the time, trying to figure out how to move people out of large state-run institutions to live in the community. And, you know, most folks said, well, that's not going to work. It's not going to play out. And what we found was the group that started in 1972 started moving people out of Harrisburg State Hospital. That's where Keystone was founded, i.e. the Keystone State. And then as time went on, started to diversify and providing support similarly to people with intellectual disability and moving them out of the state centers. So we've been a big part of what we often refer to as a deinstitutionalization movement, but I'd probably like to refer to it a little bit more as creating community and creating home for individuals to live in the community.
And home is something that we've heard about today at the Clinton Global Initiative. That was the whole theme of this morning, about creating home. So you've got this approach from the 1970s that's now gone global. So where's Keystone working today?
So the global aspect of it is, first we have a footprint here in the United States that includes Pennsylvania, the state of Delaware, state of New Jersey, and also Connecticut. In 2000, we were asked to go to Moldova, and I took my first trip to Moldova in the year 2000. And not too long after that, we were here at the Clinton Global Initiative and were introduced to the Rural India Supporting Trust. And they liked the work that we were doing on disability, and we've been working with them to support, you know, develop programs and pilot projects for disability support in India.
Okay, and also Moldova and Ukraine is something that is also on your radar, I take it.
Yeah. So one of the things that when I went to Moldova in the year 2000, we were trying to figure out what was the best way to move forward, and we thought that a international internship program might make sense. So we recruited three individuals from a small college in Chisinau, Moldova, the capital. They came to the United States and worked in some of our programs and services. And before they left, one of the questions was, what would you like to do when you go back to Moldova? We also run a program for early childhood education. And Liliana Babanegra at that time is now Liliana Malencia. Actually saw our Head Start program and said, this would work very well in my village. That village is the village of Todora, which is right next to Polanka, which is the border crossing from Ukraine. So when February 24th happened, Liliana and our staff in Todora went to the border to help support people coming across. So we were engaged right from the get-go.
Wow. And Nikolai, you've been with Keystone for years now in Moldova. So what are some of the details of the work that you've overseen there?
So we started with a small community center, as Charlie mentioned, in Todora, providing services for after-school services for vulnerable children. Then our mission was to is to support persons with disabilities living in their community, and we started a national program, deinstitutionalization program, to take to help people from the institutions, children and adults from the residential institutions to move to the community. And that involved the development of a whole system, because there were no such services in that part of the world. And we developed the services, we developed the legal framework, all the regulations and standards, and managed to have the state take over those services, and they continue to be run up to date. There is still a lot of work to do, because there are still people in the institutions that need to go to live in the community. So besides the DI program, we've been working on fighting stigma to support persons with disabilities, to improve the perception of the disability by the general population. And with various means. So there is a lot to do in Moldova in this field. And now with the war that happened in Ukraine, there are a lot of people with disabilities and with special health condition that need support. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are doing right now.
It's such a challenge when you're trying to bring these little measures of support into systems where it's just lacking, right? The idea about health is that health is just a, it's not one specific illness. It's not just a lack of illness. It's a way of life. It's a meaning. So what is your commitment with the Clinton Global Initiative?
So with the, I think we're probably, what, about 90,000 individuals from Ukraine are currently in Moldova. We have an expectation that that number is probably going to rise again.
Yeah.
And part of that is just because of some of the economic factors, the war certainly, and then economic factors beyond that. What we've tried to do is bring together partners to work with us to figure out how we can provide a variety of supports to people with disability that are in that group of 90,000 individuals. Our commitment looks to focus on about impacting directly about 11,000 individuals, both those with disability and chronic medical conditions. On top of that, then we probably figure the indirect support will probably be close to about 55,000 individuals that will be impacted. The impact is interesting because it's also not only focusing on those that have come from Ukraine, but also the people that are housing and supporting the individuals from Ukraine.
Right.
Thinking now that people are kind of familiar with refugee crises, and in their mind it's tents and big centers and those kinds of things. It's very different in Moldova. 95% of the people that have come across the border are now living in host homes with other individuals. So we can't simply go through a camp and kind of with our checklist and try to figure out who's who and what do they need, but we have to do outreach. And that outreach is with mobile teams. We have a social worker and a physician who will be going out in mobile teams, identifying, assessing, evaluating individuals. We're doing that in conjunction with the Ministry of Labor and Social Protection from the government of Moldova. So all the work that we're doing is very well aligned with the interests of the government. And then additionally, we have a hotline service, and we've opened that up, distributing materials both in Ukrainian and Russian and Romanian, which are the three primary languages that are spoken in the region, and have the opportunity then to steer individuals towards services and supports that are needed. Important things around water, sanitation, and hygiene. So we've partnered with the European Union to bring in what oftentimes is referred to as a social canteen, but maybe from the folks in the U.S. might better understand it kind of as a food bank or food security discussion. And then on top of that, looking at you know, the partners. We have partners from France, a foundation from France. We are working through the United Nations High Commission on Refugees. Dr. Ludmila Malkoc, who's our regional director for Keystone International in Central and Eastern Europe, is the head of that component of UNHCR in Moldova. So, you know, we're looking at how do we, you know, pull all these resources together and best benefit the people that are coming from Ukraine that are fleeing from this horrific war.
And what I find fascinating about this approach is that it's, I think what we heard this morning was that the overwhelming numbers of refugees in the world is sometimes just shocking. Like, you're almost just stuck by, like, how many hundreds of thousands of people in any one place. Mm-hmm. So what is really fascinating about this approach is that it's not just here's a cookie cutter box for each of those numbers. This is about people and the communities in which they're trying to thrive in. So, you know, getting that personal connection to support communities as well as individuals, it seems like an incredible challenge. And Charles, you're taking the reins of this challenge very soon, I understand.
I will be, and you know, I consider one of my roles here to continue this work and to leverage you know, the foundation that both our founding president and Charlie has put in over the last many years, as well as Dr. Malkoc and Nikolai's work in Moldova, and Genevieve Fitzgibbon, our deputy director, have done so, and making sure that that work is continuing and that we are continuing to move that mission forward. Our mission is not just in the United States. Disability is not an American issue, and need is not an American issue. So it's something that we do worldwide.
Yeah, and again, it, sometimes I think also the vision of what disability issues looks like abroad. There's sometimes that technology divide that prosthetics just can't be the same level that they are here. But that connection to making sure that people feel a sense of home and a sense of community support, that's universal, I reckon.
Yeah, I think one of the things, as you mentioned, community goes back to the beginning, not only of Keystone in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, but also the beginning of Keystone Moldova and Tudora. Both instances were created and dealt with by people that were living in that community. So Liliana Malencia is an icon in that town. Mm-hmm. She is very, very, very much part of the community. And so when she looks at what's necessary for Tudora, Polanka, that region, it's home. It's really pulling that in, and it's her community. It's not Keystone going in and saying, this is what you need to do. It's Liliana saying, this is what needs to happen. Yeah. And how do we make that happen? How can you support me? And that's where, you know, Chuck and Nikolai and Dr. Malkoc and Genevieve and, you know, have all pulled together as a team to support Liliana. And then the kind of next steps is trying to think about what needs to happen in Ukraine. Yeah. So we heard this morning an address by President Zelensky from Ukraine. And frankly, that was very, very emotional, very moving for me to think about the situation that this country is in right now, the country of Ukraine, and the leadership that President Zelensky has been providing. Our job now is to try to figure out how can we partner and how can we most effectively support the citizens of his country, whether they're in Moldova or in the future in Ukraine. So one of the great opportunities that I see of being in a group like the Clinton Global Initiative is being able to meet with other like-minded individuals who are from Ukraine, who are in the community, who understand what the needs are, so that we can work together to move things forward.
And that's something that President Clinton said this morning to President Zelensky. What are our marching orders? You know, it wasn't, here's what we're going to give. This is, what do you need? Think big. And it's such an important sense to have the ideal of creating home, a proper home during and, of course, after conflict, and going much beyond resources. So in Moldova, as this crisis in Ukraine, the war in Ukraine continues on, what's next? What, from what you've seen there, where's the next need going to be to for people of Moldova or people of Ukraine? For what Keystone can get involved with?
Well, one of the things that's going on right now is the inflation issues that are happening in Moldova. Moldova, I think last month, had about a 35% inflation rate. Here in the U.S., we've been freaking out at 9.
Yeah.
You know, and thinking about the energy issues and thinking about the upcoming winter. Much of the gas supply that goes into Moldova is from Russia. So, you know, that starts to get this geopolitical play that's going on now. Moldova has been really good in reaching out to Romania, and Romania is going to be able to supply some of the gas needs, but not all. So there's a lot of unknowns that are going to play out right now in making sure that the people that are coming over from Ukraine are well supported, the people that are supporting them from Moldova are well supported, and how do we, you know, partner with organizations to bring that forward. We've got some foundations that are partners, Eurofins, for example, is a great partner that's helping us out financially. And as we continue to look to other partners to help provide the financial means to move, you know, move this all forward, making sure that people stay safe, stay secure, make it through the winter, you know, have food, have, you know, sanitation, have healthcare needs. I mean, it's a big ticket item.
Right. And for people who are listening here to the podcast and want to know more about Keystone, how to get involved, how to support, any recommendations for them?
Well, probably the simplest thing is to look on the internet and the website. Our website is pretty easy to get to. It's www.khs.org, so KeystoneHumanServices.org. So just we shortened it, so you just have the three initials, KHS. .org, and from there you can see you know, a lot of the ways that you can support Keystone, both you know, financially is certainly an opportunity, and then thinking about the ways that we can partner with a number of individuals that are interested in trying to move things forward in Moldova and then ultimately in Ukraine.
Very good, Charles Nicolai. Any final words or comments about the work that you're doing?
So. All this crisis, refugee crisis, changed completely our way of working. Besides the services that we were providing previously, we have new work to do, that is to support the refugees and also to support the local vulnerable groups that were impacted in Moldova by this war. And we've been looking, and we've learned new approaches and developing new services that we are sure will improve the situation of both the refugees and the local vulnerable groups.
Wonderful.
I'm very positive about this.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story about your work. Congratulations on the commitment to CGI this year, and all the best with the important work that you're doing. Again, just for anyone who's listening, to remember that it's personal lives that matter, and the commitment that they have with their own communities is what really, really shapes development anywhere. So congratulations again.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This has been another special episode of GDP, the Global Development Primer, broadcasting live from Manhattan, New York, in September of 2022, during the Clinton Global Initiative. For more podcasts on the Clinton Global Initiative from GDP, follow me on Twitter, @ Professor Hewitt.